Leviticus 19 and this latter part of that 36th verse, let us share it together. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. For our sharing this morning from this topic, holy, 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 let us pray. Now, gracious God, let the words of my mouth, the meditation, thoughts, desires of all of our hearts be acceptable within your sight. Dear God, you're our rock and our strength and our Redeemer. And the people of God said, Amen. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. There is a great question in this life, and I believe that it is something that we all experience from the time we are young, when all of life seems before you, until the time we are older, and then we are looked upon for a different set of expectations. But through it all, there is the question, who are we really? And what is it that we should be about? We speak of a midlife crisis, and some identify that as the age of 45 through 50, because it can be and represent the midpoint of life. But I think it can come at any point in life when we really face the question, who am I really? And maybe we are searching to fill that spiritual void or that spiritual hunger. And the question then becomes, how is God real? Or maybe the question becomes, can God really love me? Can this idea of repentance and laying aside all that has been a hindrance in my life, can I really put it behind me and say for myself, not defined by anyone else, but to say for myself and to know it for myself, yes, I have been born again. And what if this spiritual life has been with us for a long time, but suddenly we find ourselves running on empty? The fire and passion does not burn as strong. Maybe we are trying our best. We are giving all that we have, only to find disappointment. What word calls us to be renewed all over again? As you have time, read more than many of the other portions of Leviticus. And yes, you will find all kinds of regulations, what to do and what not to do. But there is something else. There is the challenge to live before God. One commentary said, when something is repeated time and time again, when there is repetition, it indicates its importance. What the message in Leviticus that is repeated throughout the Old Testament really, is this word, I am the Lord. I am the Lord. This was the message. And out of knowing that God is God, then we are the people of God. And to be the people of God is to be a holy people. You can define this holiness as people who are called to make a difference. No room for apathy. No room for the status quo. No room for that spirit that says, I don't want to get involved. For life and decisions, both good and bad, destinies, they're being shaped all around us. I was talking with a mother just the other day, and she said, Aaron, I made up in my mind that I was going to take my 13-year-old and really talk with him about the facts of life, to cut through all the language. And I made up my mind I was going to talk to him about sex. Her son said to her, Mom, wait a minute. Let me go get my friend and we'll all sit down and talk together. He went and got his friend and they all sat down. And then he looked at his mother and said, Mom, what do you want to know? We live in this computer age. And how throughout the internet we can be connected with someone across the world with the push of a button. The world all of a sudden can seem very small. And there is much to know and to be informed about. Yes, it's not all bad news. There are things to celebrate. And there are things, as people of God, that ought to cause us to grieve, to cause us to cry, to cause us to have a just and righteous anger. We are God's people. I am the Lord your God. We are a holy people. And out of this holiness, we are called to make a difference. We are called to make a difference. I think of Dr. King in this season and at many, many different times. And I wanted to reference him. And then this second point that I wanted to make, the first being we are called to make a difference. And this second point I want to make about holiness is that it comes alive in changing circumstances. It comes alive in changing circumstances. In so many ways, Dr. King could have set on the outside. He could have set on the outside and lived to see what would now be his 77th birthday. He could have stayed in Boston, where he was offered a pastorate. But instead he went back and moved to Montgomery. He could have stayed a pastor just on the sidelines. But when Rosa Parks sat down, in so many ways, a whole world stood up. And he stood up and led a boycott, the boycott that changed the quality of life. Dr. King could have forgotten what he saw in his early life, the injustices all around him. Dr. King could not forget. One powerful memory is when he said, a white patrolman stopped the car that he and his father were in. And the patrolman came up to the car and said, "Boy, show me your license." Daddy King responded by pointing a finger toward his son and said, "This is a boy. I am a man. And until you recognize me as a man, I will not listen to you." Dr. King said that example stayed with him. And he wanted to help organizing and changing the circumstances all around him. We are a holy people. What circumstances can we change? Even though I'm a native of Denver, when receiving the call to come and to be your pastor, I thought, well, just crossing a line, Aurora would be very much like Denver. But those of you who have lived in this community and have lived a long time, you know how much this community has changed. And as a result of the change, there are problems that have come with the change. Problems that the community did not expect, and certainly problems that the community does not desire. But they are here now. And what role can we play as agents of change? We can't ignore what we see, and we can't ignore what we feel. We might say that our resources are limited, but we are wrong. I am the Lord your God. And if we put the needs of others first and foremost, if we decide we are going to change the circumstances around us, then the word becomes, I am the Lord your God. What this holiness calls us to is to be different. This holiness calls us to change the circumstances that are around us. The last point I would make is that this holiness has its own motivation. When the Lord was speaking to the Israelites, he was speaking to them as he had brought them to this land. And they were strangers within this land, but God was on their side. As a result of that, they were not to treat others with hostility, to treat others with neglect, to have that attitude that says, God is on our side and not yours. They were called to treat others, not to forget the poor, not to forget those who may have been worshiping even a different God, but they were called to treat others with justice, to treat others with fairness. They were called in the midst of a strange land to truly be the people of God. Abraham Herschel, just 10 days before Dr. King was killed, said these words, "Martin Luther King Jr. is a voice, a vision, and a way. I call upon every Jew to hearken to his voice, to share his vision, to follow in his way." And then he closed with this word, "The whole future of America will depend upon the impact and the influence of Dr. King. This holiness is motivated as we engage with other people. One of his favorite hymns was, "Precious Lord, Take My Hand." I believe I had this experience on last Monday as I was working in a school. I'd been there all day working with this first grade class, and it was time in the afternoon to take the class to their computer class upstairs. I started out and I was headed the wrong way. It was a little Hispanic child who came and took my hand, turned me around, and we walked upstairs hand in hand. I couldn't help but think at that moment, this is what it's all about. This was the dream and the purpose. This is what it's all about. Somehow, even with a little child, to allow them to take our hand. And does not that hand become a sign of God's hand? Does not that hand become a sign of God's presence? Does not that hand become to judge and to mean that word, that we no longer desire to be judged by the color of our skin, but by the content of our character? Does not that hand say something about what it means to turn around? To turn around. To take that hand is something. Something that no one else can take away from us. But it is also something that we must share with others. Holiness, holiness, holiness. To be different. To change what are the circumstances around us. And to find a new motivation. A new motivation. Called to be God's people. I am the Lord your God. We are a holy people. Amen.